I'm really very, very happy to see so many young ones can be in this kind of training. And I especially thank the Lord that they gave us such a good brother like David to give you that kind of difficult testing. And don't despise this kind of thing. It's very important. Now, while you are still young, when you still have the good memory, and so you can use your time to memorize the Word of God. And this is a big blessing to you. Especially today, we're very happy that even in the restroom, and some brothers on one hand going to the restroom, same time, still try to to memorize the verses. I really thank the Lord for that. So that you did not waste your time. And the reason I want to emphasize this is because the time flies. Okay? And every one of you should really treasure your youth. And the youth will not remain with you forever. So I know once upon a time I was young too. And so I still remember when I went to university, I started school earlier. That time I was 17, and I went to a new locality, and the one of the elders there asked me, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 17. Then he said, when he was 17, once someone he met who was 33, he said, "Wow, this guy is so old, 33. And before he knew it, he was 33. So at that time, he was 33, and I was 17. I thought, wow, he was 33. I didn't say it, but within me, oh, this guy is so old. Before I know it, I was 33, and before I know it, my age doubles 33, becomes 66. But then now I'm over 66. My point is that the more you get older, the more your memory will not be that good. And so I think you all know. So you really have to use your youth time, really spend time to get into the Word, memorize the Word. And I don't know whether I said this last time. I don't think I said this to you. But when I was in high school, and one day one of the elders in the church in Taipei came to the young people's meeting, and he encouraged us to memorize the Bible, memorize the verses, actually book by book. And at that time he said to us, in order to encourage us, if anyone could finish one New Testament book, he would give us a fountain pen. At that time we did not use this kind of ball pen, it's all fountain pen. And Park, still remember the good old days, but anyway, so he would give us a fountain pen if you finish one book in the New Testament. And if you can finish the whole Paul's epistle or the whole gospel, he will give us a watch. So then we quickly start to memorize. And I was so foolish. I started Paul's epistle, so I started Romans chapter 1. And before I memorized a few chapters, I saw many other young people. They all got their fountain pen. How could they were so smart and I'm not? Then eventually I discovered they all memorized Philemon. So only one chapter that book. So they quickly all got the fountain pen. But I just continue. I still continue to be a foolish one. I thought I at least I have to finish the whole Romans. Then I went to the shorter books like Galatians. I did not go to First and Second Corinthians, but I went to Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. But at that time, we did not have the recovery version. So we still memorize the old Chinese Union version. I really envy you that now you can right away memorize the recovery version. So you don't have to find a new version to memorize. But I try to memorize the English recovery version, but a little bit too late. But anyway, I still don't think it's too late. I still try. And the more you memorize, the better. But the thing I want to say is this, that even though hourly speaking, it seems I was very foolish and I started from the long book, but eventually when I look back, I think I was more blessed than those who memorized Philemon. And then later, you know, in Taiwan, after we graduated from university, Taiwan was like Israel. So all the males have to serve in military service. So at that time, when we're in military service, when we are in boot camp, and then at the time, I just had a pocket-sized New Testament Bible in my pocket, and when they ask you walk again, and turn right, turn left, and jump, and this and that. And that you don't need to use your brain. So I just use that time to memorize these verses. I just tell you one secret. Whether you can really remember them or whether you can really memorize the verses in a fluent way, it's not based on how many times you read it. It's based on how many times you recite it. The more you recite it, the more it will be constituted within you. So during those months when I was in the military service, then my whole brain all the time would just try to recite those verses. And even though if you ask me, I be honest, I forget many of them. But since I have recited those verses, and before any meeting, I know I need what verse. I only need 2 minutes to review it. I could right away mention these verses in the message. If I did not memorize those verses when I was young, I could never do that. So even if you fail, it's no use for me to memorize these verses, I forget anyway. No, if you do it, much better than you don't do it. So because again, I repeat this, if you do it when you really need it, you only need 2 minutes to review, you can recite it to other people. If you never memorize it, when you need it, you even spend 20 minutes trying to recite it, you won't be able to do it. So I really encourage you continue to get into the Word and to memorize this Word. So tonight we'll come to message number 3. Let's declare the topic together. Christ, our portion. The experience of Christ in Colossians. Christ, the reality of all positive things. Now, this topic is based on Colossians chapter 2, from verse 16 to verse 18a. Let's turn to those verses and read it with strong spirit. Yeah, from chapter 2, verse 16. Let's read it together. No, therefore, judge you in eating and in drinking, or in respect of a feast, or a new moon, or of Sabbaths, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the body is of Christ. Let no one defraud you by judging you worthy of your prize in self-chosen and the worship of the angels, dwelling on things which he has seen, vainly puffed up by his mind. And continue on to verse 19. And not holding the head, out from whom all the body being richly supplied, by means of the joints and sinews, grow with the growth of God. So these few verses are extremely important. But in the beginning, it seems what Paul said was quite basic and very easy to understand. But actually, it is not that simple. Verse 16 said, let no one therefore judge you in eating and in drinking, or in respect of a feast, or a new moon, or of the Sabbath. He mentioned a few things here. And so this is what you have in your outline. In your outline, Roman numeral 1, let's read it together. The all-inclusive Christ is the reality of all the positive things in the universe. So what this message tries to impress us is that all the positive things in the universe are actually just typifies, just illustrate to us the Christ. So why we say the all-inclusive Christ? That is because whatever we need, the Christ is. So if you feel you have any need, don't go to anywhere else to try to get an answer. Just come to Christ. Christ is all what we need. That's why we say he's the all-inclusive Christ. And he is the reality of all of the positive things. Now, in the universe, not only there are many negative things, there are also many positive things. But we need to know all the positive things are just types of Christ. Christ is the real thing. And so this is what it means. It's the reality of all the positive things. Then you have the A. Let's read A together. Christ is the body, the substance, and the reality of all the shadows. As such, it must be the reality of our daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly enjoyment. So this is what we just read, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. So here it mentions these things. One is eating, another is drinking. And these things, not only is positive, it's necessary. All of us need to eat, need to drink. And then it also mentions in respect of a feast or a new moon or of Sabbath. But when you read the outline, you will know the meaning. Here, the eating and drinking are the positive things related to our daily living. In other words, you have to eat every day. You have to drink every day. So these are the daily things. But then, after eating and drinking, it says feast. This feast refers to the Old Testament feast, like the Feast of Tabernacle. And so this is yearly things, like a Feast of Tabernacle. They only have 3 times per year, not per week, but per year. So you have yearly things. And in the outline, it reversed the order because it starts from daily things, that is eating and drinking, then weekly things, that is Sabbath. So here it mentioned, even though the Bible mentioned feast first, then a new moon, and then Sabbath. But for our convenience, so in the outline, since it mentioned the daily thing first, eating and drinking, then weekly, that is the Sabbath. We all know Sabbath is only once a week. And then you have monthly, that is a new moon. Then you have yearly, that is a feast. Now, all these things have their spiritual meanings. That's why it says all these are just shadows, but the real thing, the body is Christ. Christ is the real thing. So let's just start from these few things. If we know these few things, then hopefully you can apply this to all the other positive things. Now we know that every day we need to eat and we need to drink. And here, according to the original Greek, the food and drink really, actually someone said eating, in the Bible it says eating and drinking. But it also can be translated as the food and the drink. And So here it says why we want to use the other translation instead of eating, use the word food. Because this word food in the Greek had this implication of satisfaction. When you eat, when you have eaten enough food, usually we say that you are full, right? And full simply means you are satisfied. And so people with different appetite is different. Someone eat a lot, he still did not feel full. So someone just eat a little bit, and then he feel is full. That's here, that's why it did not just say eating, it says food. And we all need to take enough food that until we're satisfied. But of course, you need to follow your doctor's advice. And don't eat too much or don't eat too little. So this shows what? This eating and drinking, again, means food and drink. Then food means satisfaction. And drink here refers to strengthening. So this you need to apply to Christ. You have to see this food, the material food, and the material drink, whether it's water, it's milk, or it's tea, whatever it is. And food and drink typifies that Christ is our satisfaction, and just like food can satisfy us. And also, the Christ is our water, living water, our drink, that can strengthen us. So this is what it means that Christ is the body. That means he's the reality. He's the real food and he's the real drink. And therefore, before we eat, we really should pray. We should give thanks. But today, you know, all Christians, I don't say all Christians, but majority of the Christians, they all want to give thanks before they eat, right? And if you don't give thanks before you eat, people think you are not a good Christian. And here in the United States, you don't have problem. You can just give thanks before you take the food openly, because United States is a Christian country. But when we were young, when we were in high school in Taiwan or in China, very often we had problems that if we want to give thanks in the dining room, in the school, Simon knows, and you pray, you give thanks for the Lord. When you open your eyes, your food is gone. And then people say, you thank the Lord, you say, God gave you food, where's your food now? So they just steal and took your food away. So that time, really, we have to be an overcomer to give thanks to before we eat the food. But my point is, don't think because now I'm an overcomer, even though people could give me trouble, I still want to give thanks to the Lord. But when I look back, even at the time, I always give thanks to the Lord before I eat. I still miss the real meaning why we have to pray and give thanks to the Lord. Because that time we did not have life study of the book of Galatians. So I really envy you, brothers and sisters. You just get into the Lord's recovery right away. You know all these things. Why we have to give thanks? Not only we thank the Lord for providing food and the drink to us, we have to remind ourselves the real food, the real drink is Christ. Even though we may have good dishes and very delicious food, but still, they are just a shadow. And I know when I say this, many of the unbelievers, I don't think you will laugh at me, I don't think you will disagree with me, but if you say this to the unbelievers, they say, you are superstitious. How can you say these are not real? And so, especially if you are invited to a banquet, you can see many foods right in front of you. You have lobster and the chicken and the duck and the this and that. And all these are real. And You can smell the good smell, and you can touch, you can eat. How can you say this is not real? But we have to remember one thing. Our God is the eternal God. Our God is not limited by time, not limited by space. In God's eyes, anything is not eternal, has no eternal value. Anything temporary is not real. Today, maybe, don't say 10 years ago, even a year ago. And I might have was invited to a big banquet. I saw, even in my memory, I still can remember, oh, those delicious lobsters and salmons and whatever. But where are they now? Where are they now? Today, after a year, probably I still remember. I can assure you, another year, I don't remember. So those things does not exist. So that's why these things, these material things, seemingly is very real, but since they are temporary, not eternal, in God's eyes, they are not real. Especially, don't say eternity future. Don't say when we are in the New Jerusalem, even in the Millennial Kingdom. Probably you won't remember anything what you eat today in this life. So this is something, it's not real. Christ is real. And he is with us all the time. And so we can enjoy him. We can eat and drink him all the time. And he is the real food. And the material food, if you eat too much, you get stomach problems, stomach ache. And if you eat too little, that won't satisfy you. But when you eat Christ, you can never eat too much of Christ. He will always satisfy you. And when you drink of Christ, he will always strengthen you. So when we give thanks to the Lord before we take our meal, this is the way how we should give thanks. It is not the religious tradition. It is not the religious formality. When one of my daughters was young and we taught her to pray, then she just repeated the same thing every time. Repeat. Lord, thank you for giving me good food. Amen. So every day she prayed this way since she was very young. Then even when she was not eating, when we in other occasions say, let's pray, she will repeat the same thing. Lord, thank you for giving me good food. But that's meaningless, right? So we have to really use the opportunity from the bottom of our heart. Lord, we thank you. You are the real food. You are the real drink. And I don't know how the Spirit within you will lead you to pray. Even lead you to have a long prayer to give thanks, to give praises to the Lord. I don't know. And maybe just one sentence. That's possible too. But it is not a formality. It's not to repeat the same thing like many of them recite the Lord's Prayer. No, but the thing is, we really need to pray from the bottom of our heart and realize that this is temporary, but we have something eternal. We have Christ. So this should become our habit. And then weekly, that is the Sabbath. That is for our completion and the rest in him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, I think these verses, you are all very familiar. In Matthew 11, what did it say, you remember? Matthew 11, verse 28. And Jesus said what? Yeah. He said, come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest. So, this Sabbath is for people to rest. But you have to see that the real rest is Christ. Christ is the real Sabbath. And many people think in Genesis chapter 1, God used 6 days to create the universe. Of course, we know it, that is not the record of God's creation, but that is the record of the principle of the growth in life. That was Genesis chapter 1. And Brother Lee made it clear that in Genesis chapter 1, the only verse that is related to God's creation is chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Only that verse is related to his creation. Start from the second verse, and the earth became a waste and empty, and the spirit blew over the deep water. That refers to death. Start from that verse has nothing to do with God's creation. So don't think God worked so hard and he worked 6 days to create the universe. If you read the book of Job, chapter 38, then you know God did not create the heaven and the earth at the same time. He created heaven first. He created many stars first, even many living creatures. And then he laid the foundation of the earth. So heaven and the earth are not created at the same time. And I don't want to get into too much of this. So many of the unbelievers criticize the Bible, or the Bible is not scientific. That is because they don't understand what the Bible is talking about. And so, well, anyway. But my point is this. Don't think God worked so hard and he worked 6 days, so the seventh day he's tired, so he had to rest. So that was the Sabbath. No. You have to see why God rested. It's because he had gained something. He's happy. He wanted to gain. He gained what? He gained a man. He had created a man according to his image. When he created other things, when he created vegetable life, and when he created the fish, created the birds, he did not stop. He did not rest. It was at a time when he created Adam, a man according to his image. He got what he wanted. That made him very happy. He was satisfied. Therefore, he was satisfied. Therefore, he rest. It's not he was so tired that he had to take a rest, take a break. No. God will never be tired. So that Sabbath day, only because God has accomplished what he wanted to create, and he got what he was after, he was happy, so he was satisfied. That's why he had the day of Sabbath. But on the other hand, our God is full of mercy and full of love. He knows we human beings need rest. Therefore, in the Old Testament time, they work 6 days. Then the seventh day, God led them to rest. God knows, or God knew, we human beings need the rest, need the Sabbath. But with God, just to give you the seventh day to rest, that's just a type. The real rest is Christ. That's why when Christ came in the fourth gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, again and again, he broke the Sabbath. Why he purposely broke the Sabbath? Because of that, he got into trouble with many Judaizers, Pharisees. He just wanted to let people know. He actually openly said this. He said, I am what? The Lord of Sabbath. In the past, before the Lord Jesus Christ came, so they needed to have some types to illustrate, to prophesy that something restful, peaceful from God is coming. But what is the real peace, real rest? That is not a day. It is the person. Person is Jesus Christ. We need to see. If you have Jesus Christ, you have the real rest. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you can pick the whole week off, you still don't have any rest. So this is what we need to see. But then, not only Sabbath is weekly, with God is completion, he complete the old creation and the rest in him. And then he really wants us to take the rest in Christ. Matthew 11, 28 to 29, the Lord called us to go to him to have rest. Then this is weekly, then you have monthly. And Christ is our new moon as the new beginning with light in darkness. So this is why we have John chapter 1, verse 5. You want to turn to John chapter 1? John chapter 1, verse 5, it says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." So, what is the new moon? On one hand, the new moon is the new beginning, at the beginning of that month. At the same time, it is the light started to shine in darkness. You can only see moon in the evening, right? But at the new moon, it's very dark, but started to have light. And it's not the full moon. So here you see that the Lord always gives us a new beginning. So that's why we mentioned the morning revival. Every morning, you have to come back to life. What does this word revival mean? If you go to Webster Dictionary, you will know the meaning of this word revival is what? Come back to life. Come back to life. Forget about what happened last night. Last night, maybe you had a very victorious, overcoming, glorious experience. But today is a new day. And you forget about things behind, stretch forward to the things before. Maybe last night you had a big failure. Praise the Lord. The Lord gave you a new beginning. So we have a new moon. And this new moon is a very hopeful beginning because it is the light started to shine into darkness. And then yearly, that is, Christ is our feast for our joy and enjoyment. So in the beginning, in this online, it used what happened in our daily life and the weekly and monthly and yearly to try to help us to know what does it mean that Christ is the reality of all the positive things. And then here B, it getting to more detail. Although Christ is universally extensive and all-inclusive, we should experience him in our daily living and in our daily walk, so that he becomes real, practical, and experiential to us. This is the burden of this message. It is not just doctrinal speaking, oh, you understand what does Colossians chapter 2 said here. No, we want to get into this kind of experience. So here it says, Christ is our breath. In John chapter 20, verse 22, in the night of the Lord's resurrection, he came to breathe himself into his disciples. Receive you the Holy Spirit. So today, we need to continuously have this kind of experiences. Oh Lord, every day I want to breathe you in. I need to breathe you in moment by moment. Then Christ is our drink. This is John chapter 4, verse 10. Because of time, I cannot read all these verses. I believe these are the familiar verses, and it's very easy for you to understand. And then Christ is our food. That is John 6, chapter 6, verse 35, and verse 57. And then Christ is our light, and that is John chapter 1, verse 4. In him is life, the life is the light of man. And the chapter 8, verse 12, again, it says Christ is our light. Christ is our clothing. This is Galatians chapter 3, verse 27. You have to see that Christ is also our clothing. Now, today, we all wear clothes. Do you realize this clothes is also not real? Because it's not eternal. Today, when we put on our clothes, we need to remember Christ is our real clothes. Not only he covers us, he warms us up, right? When we wear clothes in the winter time, you feel warm, right? At summertime, it makes you feel hot. But then, in summertime, you still need to wear clothes. Why? Because, because our physical body is fallen body. It's shameful. Today's worldly people, people in the world, the unbelievers, sometimes not only unbelievers, even some Christians think, oh, we human bodies are beautiful. I want to show you how beautiful my body is without realizing your body, my body is so shameful. We need to put on Christ. Don't think you dress a beautiful dress. Oh, you can show off how beautiful I am. Regardless what kind of beautiful dress you put on, in God's eyes, it's all ugly. Only when you put on Christ, oh, you're really beautiful. This is no joke. It's really, this is true. So Christ is our real clothes, especially when the Lord comes back. Who are the overcomers? You know, we Christians all have two robes, right? The first robe is in Luke chapter 15 with the prodigal son. When the prodigal son repented, came back to his father's house, and his father said, put the best robe upon him. So that best robe is just Christ is our objective righteousness. Because we believe in Christ, we receive his work of redemption, so he is our robe. He is our righteousness. But we all need to have a second robe. That is every day we have to make our second robe. That is Revelation chapter 19. Right? Revelation chapter 19 from verse 7 to verse 8. It says, let us rejoice and exult, and let us give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Then verse 8 said, it was given to her that she should be clothed in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Every day, our daily living, our behavior, our conduct, our words, this is our second robe. Not only clean means you do not commit sin. Also, it's shining. It's bright. That shows your good deeds is not your own effort. It's not your own work. But rather, you are living Christ. Christ is being magnified through you, or Christ is being expressed through you. The more you have this kind of living, the God-man living, then the more you have this second robe. This second robe determines whether we will enter into the wedding feast of Christ or whether we'll be in outer darkness, gnashing our teeth. So this is not a light matter. We have to see that this matter of clothing is very important, determining where we will be in the millennial kingdom. And then, so that's why we really need to see Christ is our real clothing. Then Christ is our dwelling place. And this is John chapter 15, verse 5. And I thank the Lord that many of you have the burden to preach the gospel. That's wonderful. We need to do this not just once a while. We really have to do this every day. This should be a part of our living. But in John chapter 15, the Lord Jesus said this clearly. Verse 5, if you have that verse, let's read that verse. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. On one hand, apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. On the other hand, in the Lord, we can do everything, especially bear fruit. So this Christ is our dwelling place. We have this mutual dwelling. We abide in the Lord, we abide in Christ, and Christ abides in us. Then we will bear much fruit. So all these things should be our experience to use the air or breathing and the eating or food or drinking and also the clothing and also dwelling place. All these are some of the important things or important necessities in our daily life. We need to apply this to Christ. But in many other things, we also need to see Christ is the reality. Actually, way back in 1961, when Brother Lee had a young people conference, that time I was still a young person. So I also attended this young people conference. I think Simon remembered that young people conference. And then in that young people conference, Brother Lee already talked this with us. Christ is the real thing. It's everything. I still remember he asked a brother. That brother was very active in the young people's meeting. But very sorry to say, when Brother Lee asked him this question, he could not answer. That brother wear glasses. At that time, I did not wear glasses, but that brother wear glasses. Then Brother Lee said, Christ is everything. It's the reality. Then, is Christ your glasses? Then that brother couldn't think, how could Christ be my glasses? Then he did not know what to say. He eventually said, without these glasses, I cannot read the Bible. So then Brother Lee said, no, that's not what I mean. But that time, I almost want to say, but I was too timid to say it. So, yes, I want to ask you. Sorry, you wear glasses. Is Christ your glasses? What will you say? If I say, Christ is our glasses, what will you say? Amen. Why? Why? Yeah. How come Christ become our glasses? Okay, very simple. Why we wear glasses? Because without glasses, we cannot see things clearly, right? And today, without Christ, we also cannot see things clearly. Today, many people in the world, so many low things, evil things, dirty things, temporary things, meaningless things, they think, wow, these things are so important. Oh, these things are so good, so enjoyable. But the really important things, the things has eternal value. They think, oh, probably many of your friends or schoolmates already laugh at you. Why you waste your time going to that kind of young people training or college training? You're really wasting your time. It's not easy to have a whole week. Why not you take a trip to Europe or to this or to that? Why? Because they did not have glasses. They could not see things clearly. Praise the Lord. Oh, you have glasses. Right? Christ is our glasses. Then we can see what is the real important thing, what is meaningless thing. So Christ is our glasses, right? Really. Without Christ, none of us can see things correctly, clearly. So Christ is our glasses. This is just one of the examples. We need to see this. Christ is the reality. All the other things are types. Just remind us about Christ. So this is the burden of this message. Okay, then I just pick up anyone as another question. Now you know Christ is your glasses, right? Then I ask you that is Christ our hearing aid? And you say, no, 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 I'm still young. I don't need a hearing aid. But I would say, for all those who wear hearing aid, you should remember, Christ is the real hearing aid. Right? Is that true? Why? Why? Without Christ, we cannot hear correctly. Right? Those things we should not hear, that's the things we hear all the time. The things that we really need to hear, we cannot hear. We need the hearing aid. Christ is the real hearing aid. Help us to hear the right sound, the right voice, the right words. Right? Then this you can see Christ is everything to us, right? This is not just some theory, just some doctrine, or just some teaching. This has to be our experience, daily experience. This is our portion. We have to realize what kind of portion we have, what kind of all-inclusive Christ we have. We should apply Christ in this kind of way, then we will really live a God-man living. This is how important that is. So I just use these examples. I hope that I believe the Lord will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, then you will know how to appreciate this Christ, how to really enjoy him as our portion, right? Then let's receive together. As we consider all the positive things in universe, we should evaluate them according to Christ. And let's read Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. But what things were gains to me, these I have as loss on account of Christ. But moreover, I also count all things to be lost on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. On account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, that I may gain Christ. So here you see, Paul has the spiritual glasses. He has Christ as his glasses. He could see things very clearly. He also has Christ as his hearing aid. He could hear God speaking, God's word very clearly. Because he has this right kind of seeing, therefore he realized all the other things, meaningless. Those things, outwardly speaking, was very good. But when he saw Christ, Christ is the meaning of the whole universe, then all the other things he counted as done. Of course, some of the things he boasted in Philippians chapter 3 today to us means nothing, right? But at that time, you have to realize these were the things that people could boast about, because he said that he was circumcised the eighth day. So what? And of the race of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, so what? Who cares? Today they even don't have the genealogy anymore, because their Jewish genealogy were all burned when that prince Titus, when he burned down Jerusalem. So what? Means nothing, right? And he said he was a Hebrew born of Hebrews. That means he had pure Hebrew blood. So what? Today we really don't think much about this, right? But something really very important and it can be boasted, that is what? Verse 6, as to zeal, persecuting the church, of course, that was bad. As to the righteousness which is in the law, become blameless. Wow, that's something really seemingly very valuable, right? Wow, here you have a person concerning the law. He could keep all the regulations, all the commandments. He was blameless. Who can compare with that? But with these glasses of Christ, he knew even that means nothing. Only Christ means everything. So I hope that the Lord also will give himself to us to be our glasses so we could see things clearly. Amen. Then according to the context, the price in Colossians 2:18. Let me see. Did I read verse C? Yeah, we did. We see, right? Okay. D. Let us read D together. According to the context, the price in Colossians 2:18 is the enjoyment of Christ as the body of the shadows. To be defrauded of our price is to be defrauded of our subjective enjoyment of Christ. So here, I feel this is something very serious that Paul mentioned here. That is in chapter 2, verse 18. We did read this verse, but I don't know whether that verse impressed you or not. In verse 18, it says, "Let no one defraud you by judging you unworthy of your prize, in self-choosing lowliness and the worship of the angels, and dwelling on the things which he has seen, vainly puffed up by his mind set on the flesh." Here, Paul said, let no one defraud us, or deceive us, or usurp us, that by judging you're unworthy of your prize. And today, the Lord wants all of us to receive a prize. When the Lord comes back, he really does not want any one of us to be in the outer darkness gnashing our teeth. He rather, all of us are in his wedding feast, rejoice with him. He wants everyone to be overcomers. Eventually, just like what we said yesterday, everyone will be overcomers. So who is an overcomer, who is not? This is the issue. The question is not who. We will all be overcomers. The issue is when. Will you be overcomer today, or will you be an overcomer at the end of the millennial kingdom? So sooner or later, we'll all become overcomers. Of course, those who become overcomers today will be blessed. But there are many things can distract us, deceive us, for us to lose our prize. This losing our prize does not only apply to all the joy of the wedding feast and to be Christ's co-kings for 1,000 years. Not only that. This prize also refers to our enjoyment of Christ today. Maybe millennial kingdom is still somewhat away in the future. I don't know. None of us know when will the Lord come back. But here, even today, there is a big possibility something or someone will defraud us. Satan will use many things, many people to defraud us for us to lose our prize. That means for us to lose our enjoyment of Christ. So today, I don't know, very easy. If you are working, maybe you have a bad boss and your boss was very mean to you. And then what will you do? So angry, even though you dare not to let him know, he might fire you. But in your heart, it's really, you almost want to curse this person. And, oh, Lord, help me. Chase him away. Kick him out. You realize when you're doing that, you have been defrauded from your prize. And you know that, you know this brother Hank, right? He is the president of Christian Research Institute. And last year in March, we had a symposium in Hong Kong. He brought many of his Christianity friends to that symposium. But at that time, he said one thing to me. He said, when he had fellowship with some of the co-workers, he realized our teaching, or Brother Lee's teaching, is according to the scripture. It's very scriptural, and according to the Bible, is no problem. But the thing that really impressed him was the first time he went into China, he met some of the saints who were persecuted, especially this one brother. His last name is also Li. And this brother Li, in China, many churches have big number. And that brother, his local church had 32,000 members of brothers and sisters. You know, in the whole China mainland, in the lost recovery, we have about 1 million. So 32,000 is not a big number. But anyway, because of this, he was sentenced to death. He was sentenced to death. And then he was in this death row. In death row, every cell, every room only had one person. He could not see anyone else. But he still keep preaching the gospel. He preached toward the window. And whether people could hear, he did not care. He just prayed. Every day he preached the gospel. And just like Brother Lee said, don't worry if you go out and preach gospel, nobody gets saved. You always get somebody saved. The first one gets saved is you yourself. So just keep preaching. But my point was, in the next room, there was a real criminal. And the night before, this real criminal in the next room was executed. He heard this brother's gospel preaching through the window. So later the guard told this brother, that criminal, he accepted the Lord. He was saved. Even the next day he was executed, but at least he was saved before he died. So that encouraged this brother. But then eventually many of his neighbors, even some of them were not Christians, eventually they appealed to the county government. He said, this man never did anything illegal, never did anything sinful. He never did anything bad. Just because he believed in Christ, and you sentence him to death, that's too much. So eventually, they lowered his sentence from death to life imprisonment. So then he was not executed. He was sent to the northwest in China, called Qinghai, in the labor camp. But he was very diligent, so he got many points. When he had accumulated enough points, he was released. At the time when he was released, that was already 17 years. When he was first put in prison, his daughter was just born. And when he was released, his daughter was 17 years old. And when Hank met this brother, right away, he apologized to him. He said, "Well, I'm very sorry that because of our sloppy research work and you brothers suffer so much." But yet, this brother did not have any complaint, did not have any bitterness. He said to Hank, he said, "No problem." He said, "The Lord knows me. He knows that I'm a tough person, so he arranged this kind of environment so I could experience more of Christ. I can endure more of Christ." So Hank said, based on this, he realized Brother Lee's ministry not only is scriptural, but also can help people to grow in life and grow into maturity, and also help people to take the way of cross. Therefore, the reason he brought so many of his Christianity friends to Hong Kong is not just to attend the symposium. He really wanted them to go into China to meet these brothers and sisters. And so then later, Andrew said to me, I have to go in with him because he alone could not handle that many Americans. So I went because what Hank said to me. So I also went in with them. And when we went in, this time, not only we met that brother, we also, his wife was also there. So one of the friends Hank had, his name was Jack Countryman. He's the president of Thomas Nelson. You know Thomas Nelson? The biggest Bible publishing company. He also was the company published Mindbender many years ago, but that time it was a different president. But this the new president, when he went in, he asked that brother's wife. He said, "How could you survive though in those 17 years?" Then that sister just said, "I just stay in the church. I just enjoy the church life, and all the saints in the body took care of me." And when she said that, this Jack countryman, his tear came down. When I saw his tear come down, I feel I did not labor in vain, even though it was tiring to go in, but really worthwhile. This Jack countryman, he himself said, this in the United States is unheard of. He said, all the Christians in the United States, that's not my word, that's what he said. He said, all the Christians in the United States love money. Not one Christian group will help a criminal's family for 17 years. That's impossible. But my point is, that kind of attitude shows us, even though they was persecuted without any reason, even though they suffered so much, but he was not defrauded from his prize. He still enjoyed the Lord, enjoyed Christ in the worst situation. So today, don't be defrauded. Don't be deceived by our environments, by this person, by that person, by this reason, by that reason. As long as you don't enjoy Christ, you have been defrauded. You have lost your portion. You have missed. You have missed the enjoyment of Christ. So, this kind of bitterness or, I don't need to say too much. I think you know what I mean. So it's very easy for any one of us, including me. Many times, just a very small thing, a small misunderstanding, we can be defrauded of our prize. So here, Paul warns us. We have to be watchful. We have to be alert. Don't let anyone to defraud your prize. So praise the Lord. We all can have this prize. That is Christ is our portion. Right? So let's read Roman numeral 2. Read Christ. Body. Thus to hold the head is simply to enjoy Christ as the reality of all positive things. So here, let me see. In Colossians 2, the 19, it says, and not holding the head. So in previously, it says, verse 17, it says, which are a shadow. All the other positive things are just shadow. Shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. The body is of Christ. Christ is the reality. But then when you come to verse 19, it did not say not holding Christ. Rather, it says not holding the head. We should not take anything for granted. That is why Brother Nee and Brother Lee could see so much light. It's because they don't take anything for granted. Why you have this difference? The first verse said, Christ, the body is of Christ. Logically speaking, here it should say not holding the Christ, but it says not holding the head. Out from home, all the body being richly supplied and knit together. So here you can see that let's read Roman numeral 2 again. Christ, who is the reality of all positive things, is the one who is the head of the body. Thus, to hold the head is simply to enjoy Christ as the reality of all positive things. Then let us read A. Since the Christ whom you enjoy is our everything, is the head of the body, the more we enjoy him, the more we become body conscious. Now, this is very important. This is the point we want to make. Let's read A again. Since the Christ whom we enjoy is our everything, is the head of the body, the more we enjoy Him, the more we become the body conscious. So why in the beginning it talks about Christ? Because Christ is the one we need to enjoy. He is our portion. And so, in other words, even according to our experience, you will know, the more you enjoy Christ, the more what? The more you will see Christ is the head of the body. The more you will appreciate the body. The more you will be body conscious. It's at the time when you don't enjoy Christ. Then you don't care for the body. The less you enjoy Christ, the more you will get out of the body. And why I want to say this? Many times in the past I heard this. Brothers and sisters said the same thing. I have no problem with the Lord. I really have very intimate relationship with the Lord. All my problems is with the saints. Look at this brother, look at that sister. None of them are lovable. And none, they're all peculiar. But don't think I don't love the Lord. I still love the Lord. I really love the Lord. Now, later I understand. Don't take that kind of lie. Don't say, oh, he still loves the Lord. No. If he really loves the Lord, he will love all the saints. He will be more body conscious. At the time, I don't know. Well, you know, we have these books called 12 Basketful. 12 Basketful, right? And I don't know whether you know why Gospel Book Room in Taiwan printed those messages. That was in the 60s. Late 50s. So that time, the Lord's Recovery has not advanced to today's degree, today's level. I really want to testify, you don't know, in the past 50 years, since 1952 until 1997, 45 years, how much the Lord has used Brother Lee advanced in the Lord's Recovery. But anyway, in 1950s, at that time, and once the communist China will say they will bomb Taiwan and they will wash Taiwan with blood. And then the government tried to move all the government officers to the countryside, to Taichung, to other places. But then that caused a problem. That is, then, because that time, last morning, still women speaking, we still have many messages. And in Taipei and in Kaohsiung, in these big churches, no problem. But once you get scattered into the countryside, then you have many new small churches. Then nobody can give the message. Originally, 12 basketful is for the other elders to give messages. You know, in the beginning, it's 6 volumes. Every volume has 12 messages. 6 will be 72 messages. And then, so if you use one lesson or one message per week, that you can, or the elders can have enough messages to speak for the whole year. That was why they published that. Why I want to say this? All those 12 basketful were published in Chinese. We all could read. And at that time, forgive me to say, well, not forgive me, but anyway, I was a naughty boy. And with many other naughty, we were only high schoolers. With a number of other naughty brothers. And because we all could read the 12 basketful. And in 1 hour, we could read a few lessons. And many times we try to guess what would be the next sentence the elder will say. And surely enough, the elder will say that sentence because he was reciting from the 12 basketful. And we all read that. We knew. So once we guessed correctly, oh, we're so happy. And we laugh. And okay. Then because of this, Because of this, some of the young brothers stopped coming to the meeting. And they said, why should I come to the meeting? Whatever they say, and we all know. And if I stay home, I could read more 12 baskets full. I can read more messages than being in the meeting. So some of them stopped coming to the church meeting. And I also had the same feeling. Yeah, why should I waste my time sitting there? And I could use the whole morning, read three messages. And if I sit in the meeting, I will only hear one message. But anyway, I just did not have the peace not to come to the meeting. Then sometimes when we went to visit those young people who stopped coming to the meeting, they were not reading the newspaper. They were not doing other things. At that time, we did not have TV. They really were reading the Bible. So we have nothing to say, right? But in the beginning, it seems that they read more Bible than we did. But after a year, you see the difference. Those who stopped coming to the meeting, in the beginning, they still read the Bible. They still read these books. But after a year, they were completely lost to the world. That gave me very, very deep impression that don't stop coming to the meetings. And don't say, I have no problem with the Lord. My problem is with the saints. If you have problem with the saints, you have problem with the Lord. And don't deceive yourself. Therefore, I hope this kind of share, I'm not just trying to make fun of it. This is a very serious matter. Don't think stop coming to the meeting. Don't think stop to have fellowship with other saints. It's no big deal. No. It's a very dangerous thing to do. So the more we enjoy the Lord, if we really enjoy the Lord, then the more we will be body conscious. Then we will have feeling, wow, these are my brothers, these are my sisters. And then the more you are being protected by the body. Whenever you think, oh, I can just have keep my personal relationship with the Lord, and then it's safe. Yeah, you have to have morning revival. But Brother Lee, in these Colossian life study, he said this. In the morning, you need to have morning revival. But in the evening, don't forget to go to the church meetings. We need both. And therefore, here, even just this little difference, one verse says that the body is of Christ. Another verse said that not holding the head. We need to enjoy this Christ. We also need to hold the head. What does holding the head mean? That means if you are holding the head, here it says, this one who is the head of the body. That's to hold the head is simply to enjoy Christ as the reality of all positive things. And when we really enjoy this head, then what? Then small one said, this indicates that the enjoyment of Christ is not an individualistic matter, but a body matter. Let us read small two together. The more we enjoy Christ, the more we love the other members of the body. Repeat this again. The more we enjoy Christ, the more we love the other members of the body. Then B, we read together. When we allow Christ to be the head in everything, and when we grow up into him in all things by enjoying him, we will be supplied with the riches of his life, receiving from him to infuse him into other members of the body. So then we realize our enjoyment of the Christ, of this portion, is not just for us to have some enjoyment. Yes, it is for our enjoyment. We need this enjoyment. But it is also for supplying to other members. Not only to supply to other members, also need to receive the other members' enjoyment of Christ and to receive the supply from them. This is how spiritually we can go on and we can grow into maturity personally, and this is how the church can be built up. So when we get into these messages, don't just take this as some outward doctrines or teachings. And it's just like teachings, it seems not much. But actually what is in this message is very profound and very practical and very important. I really hope that all of us, including myself, will just constantly be reminded by the points, by the principles, by the speaking in this outline, and apply this to our personal life and to our daily life, and also apply to our church life. Then we will receive the real help from this message.